Lift up your right hand before the Lord. I love you. If you love him, say it. We ask that you will grant us understanding of your word. Come and speak to us by yourself. Let somebody see a reason to love Jesus Christ the more today. In Jesus' name we pray. Matthew chapter 27, and I read from verse 22. I'm reading it up to verse 25. And that scripture is concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Pilate said unto them, the Jews that handed him over to the ruler, Pilate, to judge him. And this, after Pilate had looked into the matter, this is what he was asking the Jews. And that is the same question we have to answer this morning. And this is what he said. Pilate said unto them, verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevent nothing, but rather a tumor was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was presented by God himself to three groups of people. Three groups of people. He was first presented to the Jews. They could not recognize him. They rejected him. They refused to accept him. They sent him away to be crucified. They killed him. The Jews rejected him. Then another group of people, Jesus Christ, was presented to, were his disciples, 12 of them. Maybe the Jews were too far to know who he was. So he called 12 of them and made them to know who he is. He also had a problem with them. Then the third group are the Gentiles. Jesus Christ was presented to us. And the same problem that the disciples had after he came so close to them and revealed to them who he was. He came to the Gentiles also, came so close to us in every manifestation and revealed who he is to the Gentile church. The same thing that the disciples did to him is the same thing that is going on now in the church. What did they do? The disciples, we had some of them, two of them in particular, stand out clearly. He, among the disciples, he was betrayed. Among the disciples, he was denied. And that's why I want to give an exhortation today on the betrayal and denial of Jesus Christ. The betrayal and denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this story will be meaningful, this exhortation will be meaningful to you only if you ever take time and read the account of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 3.5 years of his ministry. You see? 3.5 years of his ministry. And when you sit down and you actually have caught the revelation of who that man is, and you catch a revelation of this man, Jesus, as the reason of our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are not afraid of death today, it's because of him. We are not afraid of witches and wizards today, it's because of him. We are not afraid of demons today, it's because of him. We are not afraid of any sickness, epidemic going on everywhere. We are not afraid today, it's because of him. The hope we have, despite all despair around us, is because of him. And now, you study the story of that man and how his own brethren, the Jews, rejected him. An innocent man for doing nothing. For doing nothing bad. And he went through all that treatment that he went through. I told you, I said, stop reading the Bible. I said, start studying the Bible. Why I say so is, when you study the scripture, you will ask yourself, sometimes be sincere. If you were among the Jews at that time, which side will you be? You know, you read the story, they rejected him, and it's very easy for you to say, see these useless people. See the way they were maltreating this man. You go! Is it because you are reading the Bible? If you were at that time, how will you have treated him? How will you have treated him? We shall pick two characters. We shall look at Judas. Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. And we shall look at the second character, Peter. He was the one that denied Jesus. And these two characters are still in the church. Those two characters, as you hear me now, you may be the one. Unconverted Peter, can I see you? Treacherous Judas, can I see you? Nobody will put up your hand now, but your mind going to tell you when I finish this message, say, Namio. Even if you don't want to accept it, you know, one young girl came one time to the church for the first time. She said she came and she was sitting down at the back there. She was telling me this herself. She said, as I was preaching, she was saying, no, say no be me. He said, suddenly a hand appeared in front of her and said, "Na you." She said, she looked, the hand disappeared. She said, she thinks maybe na her, she don't see well. She said, she sit down. I talk another thing again. She said, "No." And I said, "No, be me." He said, the hand appeared again. He said, "Na you." He said, the last one that broke her down, she started crying, was when we were talking about those worldly dresses that Christians put on. She wears trouser. He said, immediately I mentioned, how can a Christian wear trouser? She said, in her mind, say, what does that got to do with Christianity? Say, then I appeared in front of her. I said, "Now you." She looked again. I was standing at the altar. She looked and they stand before her again. It was then she knew that. So true, this message, now she. But you don't have to wait until the angel of God come personally to you first. Church, these two characters, Peter and Judas. Let's start with Judas. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've not been able to reply or respond to something a sister told me. Yeah, 2 weeks ago or so. Maybe I use this opportunity to respond if you are here. Sister, you called me that I made a comment in my sermon on the marriage and divorce when I said that Delilah or Judas was not destined, his destiny, I think it was Delilah, I gave some example, I think she was making reference to Delilah, that Delilah, her destiny, she was not destined to destroy Samson. I said, that was not her destiny. And my sister told me, they went home and the Holy Ghost was telling her that I was wrong. That Delilah was destined to destroy Samson. I told you when we see, when we talk, because it was not a phone talk. Because when Holy Ghost begin to jam Holy Ghost, then you know one of us must be wrong. Because revelation does not fight revelation. And I have told you people something. I said, you don't establish a doctrine by a gift. It's dangerous. Don't establish a teaching by a gift. By a vision. Don't confirm what I'm saying now. By a gift, by a vision. Don't do that, oh. And when you are hearing what you are hearing, hear it very well. If not, you'll be misled. And let me make it clear. I still stand by what I said. Delilah's destiny was not to destroy Samson. No! What her destiny was, her destiny of Delilah, her destiny was to protect Samson. She abused the confidence that Samson reposed on her. She was supposed to use the fact that she had privilege, information of the enemy wanting to kill a man that loved her. He loved her. He did not deserve to be betrayed by Delilah. God makes you to jam somebody for a purpose. And my emphasis there is that just like Christ show his love to the people of the world, instead of them to use that love, reciprocate that love, what are they doing with that same Christ? You see? Church, the destiny of Delilah was to save Samson. But she abused that opportunity and turned it opposite. She would have been a great woman. We have a woman again in the Bible, Rahab the harlot. She also could have used the opportunity that she had to betray those spies that came. She would have locked them in a room and ran to the city of Jericho and said, I don't catch them. Come and finish them. But she was destined to save them. She used that opportunity positively. The position of Rahab the harlot is the same position of Delilah. Instead of Delilah to hide Samson, she connived with the enemy of Samson, taking advantage of her closeness to Samson. That's what I want to bring out here. That was her destiny. The destiny of everyone. See, God has ordained that he will meet with man through man. God has ordained. If God is going to change your destiny, he will change it through another man. So every human being's destiny is for the betterment of somebody else. Nobody is destined to destroy another person. Praise God. That's what many people have not understood, and they live their lives anyhow on earth. How many people come your way and they cry after meeting with you? How many people come your way and you take advantage of them and destroy them? How many people come your way? God wants to use you to lift up somebody, and he brings his capital and joins with your capital, and you succeed and you kick him out. How many? They are there, several. You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was the position of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of us. All of us sitting down here today, you have to catch it from that background. Let's read the story so that you understand my emphasis. I said what? Matthew 26. Let's read some few verses from verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He was prophesying. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Let's go to verse 14. Then one of the twelve called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for how many pieces? 30 pieces of silver. That was the promise they promised him. They entered into contract. Verse 16. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. From that time, he began to look for opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Praise the Lord. That is how Judas betrayed his master. But remember, the emphasis here, we are looking at the instrument. When God wants to meet and bless a man, he will use another man. Satan too can do nothing against anybody until he finds a vessel to use. Satan desired to kill Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Hallelujah. I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And the Bible says that the word, thy word, is truth. So Jesus is the word of God, because he is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Which way? He is the way to God the Father. Which life? He is the giver of eternal life. Which truth? He is that has the word. Thus saith the Lord concerning salvation. No salvation in any other. Salvation is in him, Jesus, and him alone. So when Satan attempts to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's trying to do is to destroy the way to God the Father. To destroy the source of eternal life. And to pervert and destroy the truth. That is his ambition. To kill the truth. That's why the spirit of Satan is known as the Antichrist. And that spirit that operated against Jesus in the human form, in his earthly ministry, that same spirit is still on now, working against the church. If you don't catch this revelation, you won't understand the burden in my heart that I want to share with you this morning. Don't look at it as a history. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Satan is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What he did yesterday, he's still doing it now. The only thing is how he's doing it. You need the grace of God to grant you understanding. But all to achieve the same thing. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, listen. As soon as he recognized who Jesus Christ was and his mission on earth, the first thing he did was he tried to tempt him in the wilderness after the 40 days fast. What was he going to tempt him? Was to destroy his mission on earth. He failed in that temptation. He changed the tactics. He used the religious leaders to begin to blaspheme. They call him all manner of names. They say he was the king of the demons, Beelzebub. Let nobody go near him so that they will not know the truth. He failed. They tried to set him up again so that they will catch him and jail him. Before the Roman Empire. Can we still pay our tribute now? so that he will stand and say, no, I am the Messiah. I've come to deliver you people. And then set the Jews against the Roman Empire that they were under, so that the law of the land will hold him for sedition, for whatever it is they will level against him, and then they will put him in jail. They failed because he was smarter than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How will he do it now? What he did was to use an insider. When in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, he said, a man's foes shall be they of who? His household. Then you'll understand what that scripture means. I explained it to you the other day. I said that scripture is not saying that everybody in your house is your enemy. What he's saying is that the best way that the enemy, and the most deadly way that the enemy can get anybody, is to get him from within the household. That's exactly what he's saying. From within the household. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From within the household. And in Psalm 49, concern, that was a prophecy concerning Judas, of course, that the prophecy that Judas fulfilled. In Psalm 41, verse 9, he said, yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. That's exactly what was being quoted in the narration of John chapter 13 verse 18. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true. When the workers, we are having our program recently here, the 3 days or so of vigil we had here, 4 days, I said something about the power of the fifth columnist. The fifth columnist, I told you from where that terminology was got. That general that went and surrounded a city with his army, his soldiers. But the walls surrounding that city, they were, you know, you can't penetrate them easily. And when his friend looked at the strength of his soldiers, he had 4 columns, what do we say, 4 battalions of men, or maybe 4 sections, platoons of men. But they call him columns. And he said, he counted and there were 4. And his friend said, you have only few people and you know the strength of this city. How will you be able to penetrate and destroy them? And the general answered him, said, yes, it's true. I have since known that it is not possible for me to destroy them from outside this wall. He said, don't worry, I have another column. They are inside the city. He said, I will fight them from within. They constitute those spies, those agents that he has sent and has mingled with them and has found their weaknesses. They have been acting like one of them in the city. They have been part of them. They have studied. They could enter anywhere. Then they have the secret of that city in their hand. It is through them that he will fight from within and weaken them before the external forces will not come in. And I told you, they could not get Jesus from outside. They needed a fifth columnist. Somebody from inside. A church like this. I preach the message that I titled The Enemies of Revival. Listen to that tape. A church like this that God has raised to uphold a standard in this city of Lagos, at least this Lagos, at least even if it's not the whole Nigeria, at least in Lagos here, because you must first preach from Jerusalem before you go to Samaria. You must affect your environment before you go and open branch abroad. People are rushing to open branches overseas as if it is true evangelism they are going for. Nobody knows you in your street, but you are looking for a branch all over the world. No! A church like this that God has raised in this environment, this city of Lagos, okay, Ijesha. We never read the, because there are some people in Lagos, they say, if you say you are from Bride Assembly, they will say, Bride, which capital is Bride? Okay, they don't know us, but in Ijesha, everybody knows us. All this way, Ijesha, if you say Bride, they know us. So at least where we are planted, a church like this, Satan will try everything to come in here. But he will never succeed. Attacking from outside, he can't. It is certain he can't. Because the men that God has raised to watch over this ministry, they have been tested, tried, and proved. Some of you don't know where you are. Some of you don't know where you are. I say wait and see, because I have heard people say, it's a matter of time. Matter of time, 1 year pass. What matter of time, 2 years pass. Matter of time, 3 years pass. 1st November this year, we became 13 years old. So wait, now keep counting. See whether we have changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I was arrested in Ikoyi prison by the Lord, I was turning everywhere in the prison there, upside down with evangelism. One prison officer said, "Hey, we don't see your type, plenty. When we're not there here, we're going to say, born again, born again. Come out first." And I told him, I said, "Look at me very well. This man here has made a decision to serve this God. Wait till I go out." And from 1990, when he made that statement, till now, I have not gone back. Hallelujah. It is a decision. This ministry that you are part of, church, is not another ministry. I say so because there are people sitting down here. I told my wife yesterday, we were driving from here and going. And then we were going out, and she was telling me, "Be careful! This other ministry near us here, they, you know, all these things they are doing, you know this." I said, "I beg, maybe that one they worry me. The one where they worry me, now the one where go operate from inside. They are the ones I'm watching out for. When Satan wants to get you, he doesn't kill you." Satan will not want to kill me. If he kills me, he will get nothing. He will get nothing. See, this man here, Satan will make sure I am not assassinated. Because if I die now, na heaven straight, and Satan knows it. Oh, Satan knows it. See, right now, in addition to the angels from heaven, Satan himself has demons protecting me. Church, listen, this is a serious matter for everyone that has truly made a decision to serve God. It is not only my testimony, it is a testimony of everyone that has made up your mind to serve God. He will make sure that he frustrates me and gets me backsliding first. He will only want to take my life away in a backsliding condition. And church, when Satan wants to finish with you, he doesn't have to kill you. There are pastors today that are deader than dead. Satan has finished with them, concluded with them, and they are still holding microphone, but in the spirit realm, they are dead. Dead! When the Bible spoke about people leaving their first love, what made them to leave their first love? It's Satan. People don't know it. So, forget the external threats. When somebody went somewhere, Pastor Thomas, you are telling me today, they took our flyer for our December program, a church, and distributed it among prayer warriors. They should pray so that that program will not hold. Hallelujah. And then when Pastor Thomas, when you told me, I said, I beg. Hallelujah. I said, I beg. Which God are you going to pray to? Which God? You are going to report me to my father. The work my father gave me to do. Is it possible? And if you are going to report to a demon, my Bible tells me that my father is the head of principalities and powers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, it was the fifth columnist, the insider. And when Satan came among the disciples of Jesus Christ, he looked round. Who is qualified to be used? Remember, all the 12 disciples were personally called by Jesus. Jesus said he will do nothing except what the Father showed him. So he was going. He saw Peter in a vision. The Father said, carry and follow you. He said, Peter, follow me. He saw Matthew. He said, Matthew, follow me. He saw Philip. He said, Philip, follow me. As he was going again, he jammed Judas. Oh, Judas, you are an elect of God. Follow me. And all of them forsook their families, including Judas. All of them were marked as the disciples of that man. Everybody knew them to be the inner caucus of that church. And they are the ones. It must come from among them. Satan looked, look. Who will I use to fulfill this appointment? Because I can't get this guy from outside. I have to get him from inside. Every ministry, there is something, somebody here, even in this ministry, that Satan will come. We want to get brother assembly. Who can we get? Who can we use? Who shall we use? And they looked at, they saw one, Judas. Why was Judas qualified to be used by Satan? Church, listen. This is very important. Hallelujah. Listen, this is very, very important. A man's foes shall be they of his household. Serpent was a household member of the family of Adam and Eve. He could not use any other animal. He had to use somebody that was close. Delilah was loved by Samson. They could not use any other woman. But this one that they know is close to Samson. But I always say something. What qualifies anybody to be used by God? What qualifies anybody also to be used by by Satan. There is always something that stands you out to be used by either God or Satan. Why was David chosen to be the king of Israel? Of all the hefty children of Jesse, the prophet saw the huge one, the first one, he said, I don't say it will be this one. As the one, I know the God, he said, no, be this one. All of them said, no, be this one. He had to ask, is there any other one? He said, hey, there's one small, this one, very, therefore, that one there outside. God, they say, now that one, now he may want. Why was it that one he preferred above others? There's only one qualification. Why? David was looking after the sheep of his father. A lion came one time. Another time, a bear came and took an animal. David, without gun, without any weapon, with his own bare hand, risked his own life, went to rescue his father's animal from a deadly foe. At the risk of his life, God saw such a person. He said, this is the one that should be king over my people. Somebody with that type of spirit that will be ready to risk his own life to watch over the sheep of his father will watch over his children very well. That was what qualified him. And so the same thing also. What qualified Judas to be the one Satan will use? Judas was a money monger. Judas loved money above any other thing, above his prestige, above anything else. It was money, 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 money. He so loved money until he is ready to do anything to get that money. That's the truth. When he got among the 12, there is no record anywhere where Jesus appointed him to be in charge of the money, the purse. There's no record. Is there anywhere, now what they read? Is there anywhere you saw Jesus appointing him to be in charge of church finance? No. The guy came in and schemed and schemed. Before you know what, he was in charge of the money. The reason was that is where his interest is. You see? Because of money. And church, I said, Satan is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I didn't say forever. Because tomorrow he will end. Eh? There is a tomorrow that is coming that Satan will end. So he's the same yesterday, today, and if there will be a tomorrow, he will still be there. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. So the way Satan operated before, he is still operating now to fight the truth, to destroy the image of Jesus Christ. And there are people sitting down here now that can do anything for money. Have you not heard the human beings in looking for money? They'll go and join cult. They say, to get it, you donate your mother. And they will go and do it. Some will say, donate your child. And they will do it. Some, they will say, donate your right leg. The leg will paralyze. But let me get the money. Love of money. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is money. It is money. Using money to betray somebody who loved you. Jesus loved these people so much. He cared for them so much. The Savior of the whole world came among them. The hope of the whole world came among them. showed them so much compassion and love. And that confidence was betrayed by somebody who loved money to that level. And you are saying that that was Judas? There are many more Judases now than before. Why has Christianity gone the way it is going now? Why is Christianity going the way that it's going now? Why is holiness no more upheld from the pulpits of churches? It is the love of money. Because they say, when you preach this gospel, you won't get money to eat. That's why when this ministry started, I had to call the ministers, they were coming. You know, one time, some people were disciples of John the Baptist. They saw that John pointed to them and said, see, that man going is the Christ. They abandoned John and began to follow him. And then they asked him, Master, where are they stay now? And Jesus looked at them. He said, foxes have holes. He said, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Will you follow this ministry? It's true. You see? So I had to tell them, I said, see, all of una way say, go call me, when they come pride assembly. Listen, oh, go and find something to do, oh. Go and look for something, work that you can do. If you are going to stay here, the type of gospel we preach here, the people don't love that type of gospel. Oh. The people who have money, they cannot take what we preach. Oh. So be ready to suffer for some time. Oh. They say, yes, we will follow. But after some time, oh boy, if you follow this house, man, you don't go make a move. But if you follow this house, Amma, you don't go make a move. And so I followed. They reach a certain stage. I know one. His name is Brother Demas. Demas was in this church, oh. Demas was in this church. He had a gift that he believed that that gift that he had is to enable him to eat with it. He stayed in this church for 8 years, a member of this church. A mighty prophet. What will he do? Travel to villages, family deliverance, charge that young man. If he love you too much, he will not charge you much. He will charge you just 200,000 naira. That is, he like you with that. 200,000 naira. If you don't have it, you can't even enter his office here. Because when you stand before him, he will look at the cloth you wear. Please, I'm busy. Please, I'm busy. And then he walk out, here we go. After some time, he entered my office. He said, Daddy, I have to go. And I remember that Sunday morning he told me, I said, brother, I knew that you must go. I've always known that you've not been part of what we are doing here. And I advised you 2 years ago that you should go. You say you will stay. And before you know what, he left. In 1 year, within 1 year that he left this place. Within 1 year that he has left this place. With his prayer house where people will come, he will see vision for them. With his pure water that he has packaged. And everything else. Now, he has how many jeeps? He has 6 jeeps. He has how many? He has finished his house in the village. The Lagos land is under construction. And he has all his escorts. And wherever there is any occasion, he goes with his entourage. There is somebody to carry the portfolio for the money he will spray. Now he's telling the other ministers that have the same gift with him here. When I'm dead there, I'm not going to die for nothing. Hey, what are you still doing there, John? They say you never get house up to now. When I sit down there, Moses, don't change on our head. Don't carry on our head. Do juju now. Don't listen again. Thank God. God deliver me from Moses. It's the same spirit. Go to 2 Timothy. First, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was talking to a faithful son of his, Timothy. And in verse 9, he said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Ajawe estate. You see? Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, of whom be thou ware also? For he has greatly withstood our words. Alexander the coppersmith and Demas, they were ministers in the ministry of Apostle Paul. They were working with Apostle Paul. But Demas forsook him, having loved this present world. It means he was more concerned about what he will gain here in this world than what he will gain in the world to come. That is it. And because of that, they betray the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spirit of betrayal. It's a spirit of betrayal. When that young man was asking me that question that night, he said, a man or a woman spoke about those two preachers that William Branham mentioned, Oral Roberts and Maurice Cerullo. They are all alive now. William Branham was the one that ordained Oral Roberts into the ministry. And the day he ordained him, I read the service. It was in the sermon book. As Robert stood up from the altar to go, he called him back. And called, he said, Robert, he said, you don't go play with those gifts. He saw the gift, even before the gift started operating. As a prophet, he saw the gift manifesting and what he would do with it. I warned him. Years after, William Branham was preaching somewhere, and he called Oral Roberts. He said, Oral Roberts is a 20th century Judas Iscariot. Why was he saying that? It's because Oral Roberts knows the truth. But because of what he will eat, he betrayed the truth. That makes you Judas Iscariot. Maurice Cerullo also, he's still alive. Every day, if you ever watch their channel on the television, inspirational station there on the cable, what do you call this, DSTV. If you watch that channel, what do they do every day there? Every day they own the station. Maurice Cerullo, his son David, is the one managing the station. Every day is money, donate. The channels are, the lines are open. So, 1,000 miracle. For $1,000 miracle. So. Yes, more. From morning till evening. And William Branham, in his days, met that man. He said, you are a Jew. You are here joining the Pentecostals and the denominationals and preaching Trinity, God in three persons. He said, Can you tell your brother, a Jew, about Trinity? You know there is nothing like Trinity. The God of Israel revealed to the Jews that he is one Lord. You know it. But so that you will belong and the food you will eat, you betray the God of your fathers. You are preaching that nonsense. The same spirit betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. How many ministries have started in holiness, but after some time, the ministry is not growing according to the pace they want? And before you know what, a rich man will enter there and offer them money. They will start by taking them abroad. When they take them abroad, they will now go and see the ministry they call successful, in brackets, successful ministries. Because people don't even know the meaning of a successful ministry. How to identify a successful ministry. They think the crowd sitting down here is the evidence that this is a successful ministry. That's not it. Then when they come back, every church he traveled to in America, come and see the women wearing trousers. Come and see the women with their painted heads, painted face, painted everything. They are the ones in the choir stand. Come and see all the fashions going on. Come and see the special seat they arrange for mommy and daddy. Come and see all the things that are going on. Then they will take him to his hotel room, like the Pharisees took Judas. What we can give you, if you can, you see, the grace of God is upon you, and I have a ministry of sponsoring ministers. There are people that say they have a ministry of sponsoring ministers, and people don't know where they are coming from. But on the condition that you will allow grace to flow. You are too hard. Is that not what they did to somebody at Ikotu? That man that will not pray for you if you don't cover your head. That man that will not pray for you if you paint your face and come to his office. That man that will not allow you wear trousers and pass near his church. Mighty prophet like that, turn and look at how he has degenerated into now. While he was doing like that, there were very few people in that ministry. But as soon as he lowered that bound, that standard, everybody has rushed in. By that, he has betrayed his commission. That is another Judas. Why? For the love of money. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Timothy. Verse 6. But godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. When they say they that will be rich, that is those who will begin to pursue earthly riches. Such people, you are prone to temptations and a snare. They fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. We drown men in destruction and perdition. That's why Judas is referred to as the son of perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, O woman of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy. Everybody know you. Your testimony. He said, Timothy, don't spoil that testimony. Hold on to eternal life. Church, hold on to eternal life. Anything that will drag you away from eternal life, take it away. Hold on to eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The love of money. Delilah loved Samson so much. But what happened? The money they offered her was irresistible. Judas loved Jesus so much. The money that was offered him was irresistible. Church, listen. Judas did not hate Jesus. He didn't hate Jesus. He loved Jesus, but he also wanted the money. There are so many people that love this church. But man must survive. Man must survive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man must survive. God will understand. We have disgraced them here. We have sent them out. There are some, we have done everything. Go now. They no go go. Okay, stay and obey now. Then go stay. After some time, they go look left, look right. Look left, look right. Enter spirit. So the last thing we have decided to do now is, anybody that use your gift to charge anybody money, directly or indirectly, before you pray for anybody, we have decided to hand them over to EFCC. It's a financial crime. And Barrister Emeka will be the prosecutor. Charge him to God. That's what we have decided to do. So that when we are praying, we'll be referring to, like this, our brother that is in Kirikiri now. Because some people have to stay in Kirikiri for some time. So that they will understand what it is. But they don't hate this ministry. They like it. They don't even hate Pastor Moses. So they love him. But man must survive. Man must survive. And in doing that, you don't know you are betraying your call. You are disgracing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are selling him. You are selling him. And it is wrong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 made a statement. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23, verse 23. Meditate on that statement. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't do that. Because somebody did it and regretted it forever. One of them is Judas. He regretted it forever for doing that. The second person is in Hebrew. Let's open it. Chapter 12. Hebrew chapter 12. If you are there. Verse 16. Was admonishing the people, and in verse 16 he said, Paul, lest there be a fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he will have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He wanted that blessing back, but it was too late. He was rejected. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Why was he rejected? Why did he sought it for so long? And carefully with tears, I couldn't get it. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. He said, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Why? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And so many of us here put the Lord Jesus Christ to open shame. We crucify Jesus Christ every day. And that's why I started by singing that song, I love him. I don't know how many people truly were singing that song from their hearts. Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Yesterday, when we were joining that couple, Brother Friday and his wife, do you know that the woman was dancing more than the brother? Eh? And I stood and I was looking. I said, of course, you have to. You have every reason to dance more than anybody. Because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Christians should be worshiping God more than angels are worshiping God. The reason we have to worship God far, far, far exceeds the reason angels have. You see? Why do you think angels are so faithfully worshiping God now? They too were tested. God uses this earth to test everybody. Jude told us that there are angels that have been in chains and thrown in darkness. Only God knows for how many millions they have been there like that. There are angels that have been in chains, chained and put in darkness. Those who escape that punishment, when they remember those who are in chains, how do you think they'll be worshiping God? When they remember that I should have been there also, but I escaped. Christians, I love that man of Galilee. You will come before God's presence. For he has done so very much for me. After service, you are going to your boyfriend's house to sleep with you. You are another Judas Iscariot. How can you with your mouth love him and leave a bad testimony again concerning your connection to him? Because what you are actually doing is you are trying to make the blood of Jesus Christ of no effect. You are saying that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot convert somebody. You are a hypocrite. With your mouth, you are saying, I love him. But in your heart, you hate him. You are putting him to shame, disgracing him. Anytime you do anything that will make an unbeliever to look at you and say, and he says he's a Christian. And he says he's a pastor. See them now, they say. See them now, they say. They say, anytime you do that, you are betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. The work that he did for you. You are a betrayer. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see? 2 Peter chapter 2.